Hello, everyone. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. If you're listening to this, you must be or are interested in becoming a fan of the great sport of sumo. During this podcast, my brother and I will be discussing things like sumo predictions, up-and-coming rikishi, matchups we're looking forward to, and even our own experiences in Japan. As a warning, there will likely be spoilers in the episode you're about to listen to. Rikishi pulling out of tournaments, who beat who, things like that. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. I'm here, as always, with my brother, Andrew.
Hey, everybody.
And we're going to be talking about the July Basho, wrapping things up here. And, you know, start off the top here, obviously, the big news, Hakuho, Sensei Yusho, 15-0.
Yeah, I think if you had told me beforehand that he would have gone 15-0, I would have guessed that the rest of the field just pulled out and that they were all just kind of walkover victories because, he's coming off of knee surgery. He's, you know, this is a lot of pressure on him to perform. I mean, even if he went like 13-2 or 14-1, like that was good enough to kind of keep him out of the getting another warning or possible forced retirement. But yeah, 15-0, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I was watching some of his fights. All of his fights, but I noticed that he's doing this thing. So we'll talk about the Toby Zaro fight because everyone's talking about the Toby Zaro fight.
That's amongst the goofiest.
But he's doing this. Maybe he's always done this and I never noticed. He's doing this like really slow kind of creep forward shuffle thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed it at all, but like the day, what day was this? The day 11 fight against Wakataka Kage. It's like very evident. He's just kind of like, while he's readjusting his grip on the mawashi or like sliding his arms or like trying to get, like a better position seemingly in the upper body area, he's like slowly sliding his feet forward. And it's almost like a distraction for people. Like he's keeping them busy with his upper body while he's like slowly pushing people out. And I noticed that in a couple of fights. And I mean, again, he's the GOAT, obviously. So he's probably been doing this for a while. I never noticed it because I'm awful. But like, but it's kind of interesting to watch. I it was like a whole new Hakuho for me because I guess I was never paying attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other big thing too is that it might have just been so long since we've actually seen him compete for a full 15 days.
That's true.
Because the last time he did it was actually July of last year. He only actually got through 13 days and pulled out the last two. So there was he was 10-0, and then he did his 2-day losses, and then he, you know, had the walkover loss. I did notice that
he's changing like strategies. I feel like,
and I wonder if it's because he was still had some kind of lingering injury that, or maybe he was just concerned that if he like goes the wrong way or he tries to do something too different that like, I don't know, that he might re-injure himself. But I mean, he's the first couple of days he looked a little shaky. And then I think like day like 5 or 6 is really when you started to see like, okay, it's Hakuho, normal guy, just dominating, and everybody looks kind of silly facing him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just kind of clicking through a bunch of his fights really quick, but the Takanosho fight, like, he almost blew that. That was really close. But yeah, I think, like you said, around 6 or 7, he started to really settle in. And, it's been a while since we've seen that kind of Hakuho.
Yeah, because his last Sensho was back in March of 2019. So that was the last time he went undefeated, and I believe this is going to be his 16th or 17th undefeated tournament, which is actually ridiculous because the guy behind him has 8. So like he's got almost a 10 tournament lead on Futobayama, and then Taiho are the two guys who are tied behind him at 8.
It's crazy.
But like we're never gonna see this. I suppose we could have seen it with Tera Nofuji, because I mean, heading into day 15, and we talked about this last episode, like this is what you wanted to see. It was like Tera Nofuji, Hakuho, day 15, both 14-0. Like this was best case scenario to get people excited about the Nagoya Basho. Like
it's been so long since you've had that situation.
It really has. Too. Like you've seen some guys go in there like, oh, you know, 12-2. It's like, well, that's not as exciting as like 2 head-to-head undefeated guys, top dogs, like. And even Tera Nofuji didn't look all that bad in that Hakuho fight, but you could clearly see that you know, Hakuho's still got it. Like, mm-hmm. he just still dominated.
Yeah, and again, I'm watching the Shodai fight between Hakuho and Shodai, obviously, mm-hmm. On day 14. And yeah, it's the same. So we'll bring up the Toby Zaro thing within the same conversation. It's the Hakuho, like we were talking about prior too, that he's like hanging way back, like on the edge of the dojo.
He's like,
Toby Zaro did the same thing to him.
Yeah.
On day 7, I believe. So that's like, it's really weird that he would kind of, because when Toby Zaro was doing it, it looked pretty amateur, we'll mm-hmm. say. But then. Then Hakuho busts it out on day 14. He could blow it. He could lose right here. And Terunofuji is 14-0. They're both, you know, or rather 13-0.
Yeah.
And he does this really weird back of the dohyo thing, comes in, slugs Shodai twice in the face, and then, like, you know, is then goes back into Hakuho. Like, oh man, I don't know. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, he kind of did, and he did that like forearm
shiver there.
Yeah, the shiver. He did that to Terunofuji too. Like the minute they made contact on day 15, it was like, I'm gonna throw my forearm right in your face. You're not gonna know it's gonna, like, and that's the thing with Hakuho, is you never know what he's gonna do. Like, most wrestlers are predictable, where he's like, oh, he's gonna come in, he's gonna get like an inside belt grip outside, he's gonna try and push me out. Like, Hakuho's like, okay, well, now he's starting so far back, I have no idea what he's about to do.
And the problem is, he can do it so well.
Yes.
It's like, whatever the heck he decides to do, he's going to execute top notch. So you have to, like, account for that. Like, how do you do that in that situation? I don't know. He's, again, I think he just came out, and I really despise the fact that he pulls out when he gets injured or something like that, like little thumb injuries and stuff like that. But honestly, like, if he came back and showed why he's like the greatest sumo wrestler of all time, like, it's probably been the best field for him probably in a year or so anyway, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's really been
Terunofuji, like, at least there was somebody there to compete with him.
Yeah, because even like the last year and a half, I mean, it was Kakaru, who was always kind of pulling out. Then you had, like, you know, that in and out Ozeki bunch that really couldn't stay up there, and they'd go, you know, Kadoban. And but, like, yeah, this was a pretty good field. My concern is, though, is he actually going to be able to sustain this for a couple tournaments? And, like, I don't know.
Wondering if he even wants to, honestly.
I mean, the funny thing is, he said he wanted to wrestle until the Tokyo Olympics. Obviously, they're still happening in whatever capacity. Like, you know, these COVID cases and everything are happening at the camp or at the training, like the training facilities in Tokyo. And there's teams that can't travel and all sorts of stuff. But, like, he's got his wish of at least fighting until the Tokyo Olympics, which should have been last year. Yeah, like, does he just kind of take this and walk away? Like, just kind of go out on top? Or, you know, is he going to come back and fight again? I think he'll come back and fight. He looks pretty good, where, like, I don't see him retiring anytime soon. Or
yeah, like, he was definitely in fighting shape for sure.
But
I think it's a matter of motivation at this point.
Correct. Yeah. And if he, like, yeah, if he gets injured, or if he, like, pulls out after day 3, it's like, are you going to go back to this again?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I don't. So the next big topic is that Terunofuji is being promoted to Yokozuna. And I am not a fan of that call. I mean, we were talking last episode that we knew it could happen with a good performance. But, like,
I think it was semi forced. Like,
this is 100% forced, because they're worried about Hakuho
potentially. Because I guess the thing is, they always want to really have that one Yokozuna, because it's been like decades since there's been absolutely no Yokozuna present. Yeah. And I mean, he looked good for 14 days. And like I said, even his fight against Hakuho, he looked pretty good.
It was a good fight. Yeah. Against Hakuho too. Yeah.
So really, you know, 14-1, and he had back-to-back tournament wins. I mean, he kind of has that Yokozuna standard. I mean, it's a little bit different than Kasito Sato, who had to, like, he won his 2 at Ozeki and then he got in, versus this, where it was like, you know, you get back-to-back tournament wins, which they weren't Zen Shoyu shows. They weren't, you know, undefeated tournaments or anything. And then you go Jun Yusho, It's like, is that really deserving of a Yokozuna spot? I think in a perfect world where you have like a good, if you have like Hakaru in there competing and, you know, Haruma Fuji and like the old crew, I don't know if that would get you in.
I think even if you have Hakuho and Kakaru, Terna Fuji isn't Yokozuna.
Yeah, because you have the two. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Terna Fuji gets that promotion this tournament. I mean, has he fought well? Yeah, absolutely. But I also want to kind of add to that too. Like, something else I've noticed about Hakuho, and you know, he's obviously he fights to the very end, but Terna Fuji was a total jerk this entire tournament. Like, every single person he beat got that extra shove. Like, every single person. And yeah, he's just not respectful of the person that he's fighting. And I know I harp on like Japanese culture, and we've gone back and forth on like how they treat people who are injured and things like that. Mm-hmm. But like, it seems like it's not Yokozuna caliber to kind of do that kind of thing. Like, Terna Fuji to me seems like he like thugged that whole tournament. Like, I know I'm better than you, and I'm just going to alpha male this situation.
I felt like Hakuho did that a lot, though, when we first started watching.
I see. That was my next point. Was like, I feel it like there's almost like a weird reverse. Like Hakuho is like, I don't know, matured a little bit, and maybe he's been humbled by the fact that he realizes that he's not invincible.
Yes.
Like, he does bleed. Like, mm-hmm. And you know, maybe that's, I mean, again, he wasn't the most respectful person either. Like, if we're, you know, talking about sumo standards and things like that, like the whole screaming thing at the end. And
see, I love
like,
that.
I loved it too. I think that's amazing. But that's like
probably one of like the most real emotions besides like when Kota Shukiku won, you could see him crying, like his, mm-hmm. like, you know, or like when people win in general and they cry, like, you know, that like, that's a real feeling. But for him to be like, that was that roar. That's just like, I'm back. He went 15-0 off of knee surgery. Like, I'm still the greatest. Come at me.
And he beat Terna Fuji.
Back to back champion, 14-0 also. Like, that was his, like, I don't want to say it was like his Cinderella moment. Like,
yeah.
Where, but like, that was as perfect as it could be for him.
It's funny to think too, like every time someone wins a Yusho or whatever, we're like, oh, well, Hakuho wasn't there. Like, Hakuho came back again, probably in the, as far as like the last year of sumo has been, the toughest field that has existed. I mean, granted, it's not a great field, but like, you know, like Hakuho came back and won in the toughest possible situation. Whereas like with Terra and Fuji, we're like, oh, well, Hakuho wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that comparison point.
Yeah.
And it's like Hakuho came back, hardest scenario wins. Whereas like other people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Hakuho kind of had it not a super easy lineup because he ended up having
it was not a good field. So yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So like, but he should beat everybody. And that's the thing. It's like, even if it's a good or a bad field, you should be wiping the floor with 90% of these people. Like, not, if not, well, 100% really. I mean, he went 15-0. But yeah, like he's just an animal, and I want to see him compete. Like, that's why I was most excited, because he was like heading in, like, even when he was 11-0, 12-0, I was like, if he loses one, please don't pull out. Like, you can play spoiler. Yeah. You can have that playoff where you're both 14-1. Like, you can play a significant role in deciding who wins this tournament. But yeah, I was so excited to see him actually get through 15 days, regardless of the Zen show, but that was just icing on the cake.
And super excited when he won. That was good to see. And like, he had his knee bandaged up, which was good. I mean, these are all things, like, I don't know, maybe I never noticed before, but I don't think he usually bandages up as much as he was bandaged this time.
No, I mean, he is coming off that surgery, so they probably just wanted to make sure it's a little bit,
you know, right, tighter. But I think that's part of him being humbled a little bit. Like, again, like, maybe I'm not indestructible. Like, maybe I do need to put a knee brace on. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't rule out that as like a level of, you know, like the whole self-respect and pride of the culture,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, like, well, it shows weakness to wear a bandage.
Yeah,
or something. You know what I mean? Like, so it was, I think it was again, maybe I'm just entirely missing it and he's worn him a lot before, but I know he's had stuff on like his feet before.
Yeah, feet, but I think it's common, but yeah, I don't remember ever seeing him, because like we typically recognize when people have things around their knee, especially like Tochi Notion has that like cement block around his knee.
Yeah.
Thing made of like paper mache.
Yeah, I don't know like, what that is. Yeah, it's like, he's got it's some, like a cast.
Yeah, it's like a hard cement cast that you like. It's just that it has cement. I don't know. It's something on his knee. But yeah, no, I thought he looked really good, and like I said, I'm super excited that he was actually able to go on and kind of win.
So, since you mentioned Tochi Notion, I'll jump into that because I thought he was done. Like, I was like, there's no way this guy's getting more than like two wins, like halfway through.
He started rough, but then he did. So yeah, he started 0-4, but then on day five, he hankered. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of went on a little bit of a win where he won like 3 out of 4. And then he finished strong with 3 wins at the end. But like,
yeah,
you got to be looking at, so the last 3 wins. So he beat Tsurugisho.
Yep.
Ichi Yamamoto, who's a rookie. This is first tournament. So it's like, come on, dude, if you lose to Ichi Yamamoto, there's a problem. And Kota Ueko, who looked bad. He's
been struggling, yeah. I don't know what's going on. We'll get to that at some point. But he
was at a career high position. So he won 2 out of the first 3 and then lost the last 12 days in a row. And he just looked bad, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But like, so Tochi Notion's last 3 were pretty easy. Like guys that he should have beaten.
Yeah, and I would say Kota Ueko didn't keel over either. He put a good fight. Kota Ueko, watching it right now, he had the Mawashi grip on Tochi Notion. Tochi Notion just did his "I'm gonna lift you up and put you out."
Yep.
So like,
yeah, I'm a lot bigger than you. You're a small guy. I'm gonna swing you around. But like,
yeah.
And that was the highest ranked opponent that he faced at Magashiro 4, because Kota Ueko was so out of the picture that they were like, we don't want him fighting anybody at the top of the at the top of the broadcast, essentially. Like, we don't want you to be in the top 5 matches.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was one of the first ones, and I felt bad because like, I love Kota Ueko, but it could just be this is a career high for him. You maybe wasn't expecting this. And
yeah, he's kind of up and down too. I feel like Kota Ueko is like a guy who's learning as he goes. It's just he doesn't have the luxury of time like Kota Nowaka has. Whereas like Kota Nowaka did fantastic this tournament.
So beforehand, we were kind of talking about, well, are you ready to move on to the Kota
point? Yeah.
I would say because we had talked earlier about like our underperformers or overperformers. Mm-hmm. I think Kota Nowaka for me was an overperformer. I did not expect a 12-3 record. I think he got the fighting prize as well. He was technically like June Yusho, so he would have been the third person. And he was looking good heading into like, I think day like 10 or 11, he was part of the small leaderboard that was pretty much taking shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looked really good. And I thought what he was doing different was he was getting belt grips really quickly. Like I thought he was getting grips very quick and like locking it in, and that was what he was going with, where before he was almost trying to like push and kind of do what like Kota Shogiku did, where kind of like, I'm gonna bump you out.
Yeah.
But yeah, he really was getting like, I thought he had really good positioning, and I was happy to see that. He did fight pretty low though, so I don't know when he bounces back up, because he'll go up to like 5 or 6. Hopefully he performs just as well next.
Yeah. I mean, what I thought was pretty promising for him though is that he was the same exact rank last tournament, so he was Magashiro 11, and it's almost like it was kind of a message sending tournament, I think, for him, at least if nothing else, like self-confidence thing, like I'm better than 11, you know what I mean, like and I'll prove it this time, like I don't know, I just felt like that's like, yeah, because I mean, you can always throw in like, there's variables if you move up or down even a single rank, like, oh well, maybe this one rank pushed me into the realm where I can't do it, but like, and again, he's at an age where he can sit at that rank and figure it out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, so if he goes up to, you know, 5 or 6, like we're like, I would agree with you. I would expect him to go to, like if he can get up there and get another, maybe a 7 and 8 or an 8 and 7 or something like that. And then
kind of just linger,
improve a little bit more, like, and then turn out with like an 8 and 7. Like, if he can show that kind of consistency as he moves up, I think that's more important for him at this age, I feel like.
Oh yeah, it's just get the experience, but don't, like, you can't get like a 2-12 and then drop down into Jerry. You got to linger with like the 8-7, 7-8s, you know, even like 6-9s, I think are okay to kind of hover around that where you're just about even, and it's, you know, a loss or a win either way. And just gain that experience. Cause yeah, he's still super young. I'm so glad there's another guy from Sadagatake stable that we get to watch in him for a very long time, as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the next big thing. Every sumo wrestler is health.
Yes. So. Yeah. But yeah, like even his one loss. So every guy that he beat, or really competed against, were either 8-7, 7-8, 6-9. And then the only loss he got was Tamawashi, who I thought also looked pretty good. And he finished 11-4.
Yeah.
So really one of your three losses was to someone who would have placed fourth behind you. Yeah. Like he looked really good.
Looked composed. Again, I don't know if this is just cause it's mental with like his low rank or anything like that, but he seemed pretty confident even after he lost. Like, it didn't seem like he was really shaking it all out. Clearly. I mean, he went on to, you know, he lost one, then won three in a row, lost one, won two in a row, then lost one, then won four in a row.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're looking for a guy that can recover from something like that, I think that's a really good example of that.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about that's what he does a lot. Like, he's not one of those guys who will take one loss. I mean, I think there's a couple tournaments where he might have been battling injury where he's, like, lost a couple in a row. But for the most part, he's kind of a bounce-back kind of guy where he loses one, he doesn't really go to his head all that much, and then he can kind of just move on. And
yeah, I mean, last tournament, I mean, minus the last 3 days, but he lost two, then won three in a row, lost two, won two in a row. Like, he's always winning, like, a couple consecutive ones, which is good. And, like, when he was at Mugshare 15 back in January, he lost one, then won five in a row, lost two, won one. There's at least stop gaps. And then if you want to take his worst performance in recent memory, his 6-9, from March, he lost one, won, they lost three, then won. So like he kind of digs himself out of the hole, then lost three, then won two in a row.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's good. It's good to see, I think, for a young wrestler, it like in staying healthy and those kind of like recoveries from losses, I think go a long way. And like when he's like 30 and can do that, like when he's in his like peak.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's gonna go a long way.
Yeah, and some of like his other good matches, and I think this kind of just speaks to like who he was going against. Like Ura was another one that I thought was a really good match, and Ura came back and was fighting like
Ura was a beast this tournament too.
I'm so excited because he hasn't been in the top division since like 2017. Yeah, so it was May 2017 was the last time Ura had a winning record. After that, he took a losing record, and then he was injured the following tournament, and he got all the way down to the second lowest division. And similar to Tarnafuji, kind of worked his way back up. But yeah, like Uda looked really, really good, and he was fighting like he wanted to stay in the top ranks, and he went on to be 10-5, so that would have been about fifth place. And Hoshoryu, I thought also at 10-5 looked really, really, really good. He switched his mawashi from his traditional blue one, I think, is what he usually wears, to a red one. And he looked extremely good hanging up there at Margashira 5. And like I said, I think I always mention this, but you know, his uncle is heavily involved, and I don't know if he got more involved with his training or his technical, you know, fight maneuvers, but Hoshoryu looked really, really good that tournament.
Yeah. And I got to bring up the heartbreak. My biggest heartbreak of the tournament was the Takeyasu 7-6-2 record. Since he had a couple days at the end to try and get out of that, and just was not, he lost the guys he should have beat, quite frankly.
Yeah, heading down the home stretch, he needed one win in his last four matches, and just for whatever reason couldn't get it.
Well, Shodai, that's not fair for me to say. So he had to face Hakuho and Terunofuji in the last 2 days. So those are two guys that I wouldn't expect him to beat. But Kiribayama, you've got to win that one, man. Yeah. For the 8-win, like you got to get that. And Shodai was, I mean, he was fighting for a lot that last day too.
Yeah, so, Shodai got his eighth win on day 15, so that kept him out of Kadoban for Zoseki rank.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was going up. It was quite the wall, actually. It was not fair for me to say that. But, I mean, despite pulling out, he performed really well. Technically, one more than he lost. Or, yeah, one more than he lost, really.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think how that will factor into whether he drops a rank or if him and, like, Matakiomi will just swap sides. Because I still think a pullout counts as it's more like negative points than positive points. So I guess really if you look at like his two pullout days where he didn't fight as like one loss, he's kind of 7-7. So like I don't know if they'll just keep him at Sekiwake West or East or if they'll move him to West and move Matakiomi over.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how his positioning plays out. Because yeah, Matakiomi 8-7.
Yeah.
You know, and with Wakatar Kage, who I was very sad, had not a great performance.
Once again, another career high rank, still super young.
You
know, he kind of needs that Kota no Waka experience where it's like, hey, just kind of, if you can get up there and have that about 500 record, 5-10 is not great. So obviously,
he's not going to go down super far. He'll probably go to like four or five.
Yeah. What I'm super excited about, though, is seeing Ichinojo jump up into Senyaku, which I
think that's going to be awesome. Again,
I'm hoping he gets moved up there. The one person who I think could jump him, but maybe not even jump him, but Takanosho did go 8-7 at Magashira 2, but I don't know if 8-7 at Magashira 2 is better than Ichinojo's also Magashira 2. Yeah, Ichinojo's going up. He'll be up in Senyaku again.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. And you know, he beat he beat the spread, but he beat Shodai, which is good.
Yep.
Lost Terunofuji, lost to Hakuho. Well, they were both like on fire. And lost to Takayasu actually, which is kind of a bummer. That was on his return.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he beat the guys that he needed to beat, which was good. Like Tobizaru and Wakatar Kage, those guys are new to the upper ranks, and you know Ichinojo is no stranger to the top five realm.
Yep.
So granted, he hasn't been there in a while, but I think it was like a really good performance for him at two. I'll be very interested to see how he does in the Senyaku.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if he can hang up there, that would be something.
I'd love for him to hang out up there. Like, I think because he's been I always forget. I think I say this every single time that we talk about him. I always think that he's like in his mid 30s because he's just been around so long. He's only like 27 or 28, where he's like still super young and he's just now hitting that, like, this is your prime ages between like, you know, 28 and 32 or something like that. Yeah. Where,
and honestly, I think he's like, as weird as it sounds, like he's like trying to still figure out his body. Do I want to be a super huge guy or do I want to be like this agile, like upper mid guy? Like, but maybe he's like settling into that now.
Yeah. Cause I know he's like when we first started watching, he was, I forget how much more, but he's like cut weight since then where it's like, okay, so you've lost some weight, but like, are you replacing that with like muscle? Or are you not replacing it with like, what's your end goal? Like, what's my motivation here? My motivation, Peter. So I don't know what he'll do, but I'm just excited that he'll likely be back up. Probably just Komasubi West he'll be placed. May say we'll get the promotion over to East. Mm-hmm. Matakiomi and Takayasu will just swap most likely.
Yep.
And then that'll kind of round out your Senyaku division with Asanoyama. Oh, well, technically Asanoyama gets dropped down because he's Kadoban, but he's suspended for 5 more tournaments. So I don't know if that'll factor into it or if they'll three Sekiwake with... I wouldn't be surprised if they did 3 or if they just demoted him further than Sekiwake. But usually it's Ozeki to Sekiwake and then they can demote him greater down.
Yeah, I think they'll probably go Sekiwake with him, I gotta imagine.
Yeah, and just do 3 and have 2 that actually compete, and then there's like that one pretend slot for Asanoyama.
Yeah. A lot of eight and sevens, sevens and eights in this tournament. I don't think there's going to be a huge. There's a couple like big shifts, like Ura going 10-5 and Miragiru going 5-10. Like those guys will be your big shifts. But like Sugisho 8-7, Hadanoumi 7-8. Like tons of these. Chiyono.
Yep, Chiyono.
which I'll get 7-8. Ichiyamoto, the rookie.
Yep.
8-7, so he'll go up a little bit. Ishiura got a 9-6, but God, he looks more jacked every single time. He should just stop sumo and power lift, man.
I feel like that's probably what he does on the side. He's like, yeah, when I'm not sumo, I'm power lifting. Because yeah, he just looks jacked like each time we. And I feel like you almost have to be when you're that small.
Yeah, it's like his go-to. Yeah,
because yes, he has the Harumu Fuji build, but doesn't have the height involved where it's like, I can see what you're going for. It's probably just not going to work out. And the other good thing is that he is in the same stable as Hakuho. So one, in theory, he'd never have to face him. So he gets that training with Hakuho all the time.
He's just, oh man, he's the dude. Like, you don't even see it while they're wrestling. It's once he turns around after he pushes someone out.
Oh yeah.
Like,
and his back muscles just like flex and you're like,
dude is ripped. And he doesn't have, like, he's got kind of roid shoulders, but like,
they're not roid shoulders with Tochi Notion where it's like, I can't see your neck anymore.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have a couple of melons sitting there.
Correct.
But dude is ripped. Like, but yeah, so we'll see how he does. 9-6, he'll go probably 13-14-ish.
Yeah, and yeah, there won't be a lot of movement. I think there will be, like, you know, Tobizaru and Chiyotaru at like 4-11 each. Tobizaru looks wild out of control.
He went wild. He went back to wild Tobizaru.
And like that's what I noticed.
Fight against Hakuho, like, which we can circle back to, but continue. Yeah.
No, I was gonna say that kind of was very symbolic of how the tournament went for him. Was like just kind of all over the place, and I don't know why it stood out more this tournament either, because you've like pointed out several times in the past where it was like, oh yeah, no, Tobizaru was kind of wild, but like he just looked like he was out of control in his matches, and didn't really have a central. Didn't really have like an idea of like what he wanted to do. He's just like, I'm going to get in and kind of throw my arms and see what happens.
Yeah. And he was at Magashira 3. So obviously super high rank for him. So I wonder if maybe it was just nerves. Like maybe he was just nervous and
maybe
went to what makes him feel comfortable. You know what I mean? It's like, cause again, that's why I like him. I like him cause he's kind of unpredictable, but
outside the norm, I guess. Right. Like you go in there, you don't really know what to expect with him, which can be a great thing. It can also be kind of frustrating.
Right. And I mean, in the upper rank guys are going to handle that better than the lower rank guys, you know? So if you come out, you're doing something wild and crazy, they're just going to go back to basics and smoke you.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that was what was happening to him a lot.
He was
trying to be needlessly innovative.
Correct.
And then he just got smoked. So
in like his fight against Hakuho, which we hadn't mentioned during the Hakuho segment, but it was like the most bizarre thing. Like when I watched that video and I was like, why is he starting that far back? I was like, oh, maybe he's just stretching back.
Like,
that's one thing I was also surprised about was you can really start as far back or as far forward as you want. And I forget who it was who I almost want to say it was like Ono Show where someone was starting further back, like every single fight than I'd ever seen them do before, where I was like, what's the advantage of starting so far back? I mean, I guess it's like, if you're further back, you could probably see what your opponent's trying to do, but like, even whole Hakuho and Tobizaru, like it was just like, okay, now we're so far apart. Now we're just going to stand up and then walk towards each other. Like, weird.
Think like a guy like Ichinojo, that's not right. Ishiura could really benefit from starting back because I think that eliminates the tachi-ai. It eliminates the impact.
Yes.
Like, so you start, you're like the little bouncing elf instead of like the big angry dwarf. Like, it's, I don't know. What I like really about Tobizaru is like, and I mentioned this before we started on here, but like, it sounds like he had fun, and obviously that's like the standard response from any sports you know, any athlete.
Especially in sumo. Like, I feel like you'd never be like, oh, I was terrified of Hakuho.
Exactly. But, like, it looks like, I don't know, he just has fun with it, which is, it's, in sumo, it's hard to tell when people are having fun. You know what I mean? Like, Hakuho screaming at the end when he won is like an obvious display of like having fun.
Yeah.
But like, but Tomizaru bouncing around the ring, like adjusting his mawashi, like I don't know. It just looked like he was naturally just having a good time with it. He was like, this guy's probably going to kill me, so let me see what I can do.
Yeah. It was almost like, because between tournaments they, you know, pre-COVID, they would go and put on like entertaining like sumo bouts where they would, like, everything would be a joke and it would be funny. Like, that's almost what it looked like.
I mean, and the way Hakuho finished him, it was just Tomizaru came in, Hakuho with the left hand grabs the mawashi and just tosses him. Like, it's over in a second after all of that.
So, like, so yeah, like, kind of like what, like, so Shoboshi, the sumo wrestler who died from COVID last year, like, he was one of those performers who would, like, go into these like road shows essentially and like put on a comedic performance, even though he was also a professional wrestler. Like that's what it was almost like, where like everyone was kind of like, ooh, what's gonna happen next? Oh, is he gonna like do something funny? Because I was like, when are you guys gonna touch the eye? Like, what's gonna happen? Is I almost expected Tomizaru just to kind of turn around and walk out. Like, that's almost what I thought it was gonna happen, where it's like, ah, I don't want to fight you. Like, yep, forget it, just like kneel down, I don't know, do something in the match.
Yeah. It was a bizarre fight for sure. And I'm interested to, and then Hakuho does it. He's actually farther back than Tomizaru was on the fight with him on day 7. On day 14, Hakuho was like at the hay bales.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like almost at the edge.
I wonder if
against an Ozeki.
I wonder if he looked at that fight and kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna add this to my arsenal. Like, I've never used this before in anybody, but Tomizaru, you taught me a thing. I'm going to start way back and see what happens.
I wonder if that was, like, a respect thing. Like, hey.
Maybe.
Like, I appreciate you trying to mix it up a little bit. Like,
but, like, think about it.
I'll give it a go. But if he had lost that.
Correct. Like, I was just about to say, like, if you started that far back, which is not his norm, and he lost, everyone would have been like, what are you doing? Like, why are you trying to be funny? Why are you trying to be something different? Like, you're the kind of guy.
Bill Belichick, like, didn't, like, went for it on 4th and 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it worked, it would have been like, oh, my God, he's the greatest coach in history. But if it doesn't work, like, you're like, what are you doing? It's 4th and 20.
The game was on the line and you decided to do something that you didn't have to do. And then you turned the ball over and they scored a touchdown and you lost. Like,
yeah.
Exact situation where it would have been like, if he lost that match, people would have been like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
why did you start that far back? Like, especially against Shodai. Like, Shodai was, you know, he was fighting for something, so maybe that's why it was somewhat.
He was going for his
he was 7-6 there. Yeah, at the time. So
he had something to fight for. It's like, and I like, the Japanese media would have been all over him for that.
100%.
Like, that's such a risk. It makes me, like,
is he
having fun with it, though? Like, I don't know. Maybe. Like, it's crazy. It's like, did he just feel like he was so in the zone that he was like, yeah, whatever.
I'm going to throw a wild card at you. I'm going to start 20 feet back and see how you do. Like, see what you do. Because,
yeah, 7 days exactly after it happened to him.
Yeah. And because he's usually the kind of guy who, like, he makes that good contact on the touchy eye. He gets the belt grip. He, like, gets the, like, nothing about that fight was normal for him, which is really weird that he started that far back, because it was almost one of those like false starts again, where I was like, wait, this is a legal touchy eye right now? I thought you guys had to like do something in order for it to be legal, but apparently not. You can start as far as back as you want and just stand up and walk towards each other.
It's gonna be interesting to see if other people take that on now. Like, maybe. Now that Hakuho's done it, like. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, he's done it. You know, I guess that means it's allowed, right? Like, I'm going to start all the way back here and then just it almost seemed.
He did it and he beat Nozeki. Like,
I wonder if he was toying with him too, where it was like, hey, I'm Hakuho. Come on, Shodai. Like, come at me, bro. See what happens. Because I would imagine he easily has a winning record against Shodai. But
yeah, I'm sure. But still, it's That's like one of the really cool things about sumo too, is like, but no one has really taken it to that extreme. Like the head games that happen with the tachi'ai, like when you see a guy line up like that, when 95%, 99% of them are just putting their fists on the line, and then that guy that's doing that is Hakuho, like that sends a message.
Because like they probably go back, they view footage, they watch previous matches of Hakuho, they do like their train, like with football where it's like, oh, we know who our opponent's going to be, and then Belichick for whatever reason throws a three quarterback set at you, two quarterbacks or wide receivers, and you're like, what is he doing? This wasn't in the video. Why are we like, what is going on right now? But yeah, you have to look at that and be like, Hakuho has never, at least from what we know, he's never done that before, started that far back.
I've never seen any sumo wrestlers start that far back.
Yeah. I've seen some far back, like a little bit further back than normal, but nothing where it was like, you're one step away from going out of the ring.
Yeah, and Hakuho was, again, farther back than Tobizaru was on that day. Like, his feet are up against the hay bales. And they're, like, angled so that it, like, he's touching the hay bales as the circle kind of goes around. Like, he's that far back. That was just... That was bizarro, and I don't know. I don't know why you'd do that in that situation. I guess only he knows, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
It was cool to watch. Like, if you're going to win every single match, you might as well make them interesting. So that was cool to see. But yeah, Shodai, 8-7.
Yeah, once again, disappointment for Nozeki. Then you got Takakeshu, who pulled out after day three. He'll be Katoban next tournament, but he's bounced back from that before, so I'm not super concerned.
I think Takakesho will come back and do well. Yeah,
because now we're really, if Takakesho can stay healthy, we'll now only have two Ozeki, because we get one promoted, one demoted. We're back down to two Ozeki, and no one in the field right now is on any kind of Ozeki run. Takayasu had a chance if he was healthy for all 15 days. That instantly went away as soon as he pulled out the first 2 days. So there's no Ozeki in the field right now at all.
I mean, the only
chance would be if Ichinojo can pull off 10 or 11 wins in the next two tournaments. I doubt it. I'm not going to put money on him getting to Ozeki.
I mean, that would be awesome. I'd love to see Ichinojo as an Ozeki, but
yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, I don't expect him to. He'll get to the Senyaku division and he'll do what he does and just kind of bounce around again, which is fine. That's the kind of guy that he is, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Ichiura. Ishiura. So I'm bringing him up again because I wanted to dip into the Juryo division a bit and point out my boy Yago, who at Juryo 14 got 9-6. So he's going to climb a little bit. He'll be coming up. Abi, who everyone's been talking about.
Yep.
11-4.
And luckily he didn't win, because I don't want him to win, but he's making his way back up, and he'll probably, with another good record, get up into the Makuuchi probably come November.
Yeah, probably.
And he's been I hate to say impressive climb, but I think he has that talent to do it, and that's what he's showing, that he can do it. I just wish he wasn't a juvenile outside the ring.
Yeah. Then you got Enho, who's the other small guy. He's gonna be going down farther. He's Juryo 5 with the 4-11.
Yeah. He didn't look good too in his matches either. I don't know how much of Juryo that you caught. I caught some matches here and there, but yeah, he didn't look good. I wonder if people are just catching on to his size and he's not really going to be able to get anywhere, because like people just know what he's going to do. He's going to go low, and that's really all he can do.
Yeah. And then the rest of Juryo, I'm actually like, other than like Oho, who I've heard of before, Nishikigi, I guess I've heard of Nishikigi, of course. Midori Fuji, I've heard of, but other than that, it's looking like new faces down there for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, some of the other familiar names that we've seen Yutakayama before, who will be promoted back up. He's Juryo 1. Shohozan, Juryo 1, we also know him. He'll be 5-10, though. He'll go down. Gyoka Taisei, I've heard of before. Akua is another one.
Kota Shoho, of course.
Yep, Kota Shoho. He's 5-10. Down more. Yeah, he'll be down. I think he's coming off an injury from two tournaments ago, so I'm hoping he can bounce back. Akisayama was out. So there's a lot of familiar names in there for me, but a lot of the lower guys in there, like, I don't know, Kaisho. I've heard of Daisho Ho. Oho, I've heard of, because I've mentioned it. That's the grandson of Taiho, the former Yokozuna. And then there's some guys that'll come up, and they'll fill in some of the lower Makuuchi division guys, and a few Juryo guys will come up. But
it's your normal staple, really. Overall, I don't know, this was like a super interesting tournament. It was one that I was just kind of like, oh boy, Hagoro's back. But by like the fourth or fifth day, when stuff started getting weird, and then I started getting texts from like other people, like from Japan, it was like, that's weird. Like, day seven was super bizarre. And I was like, okay, maybe I should be paying a little more attention to this one.
So did they text you about? That's what you said. Yeah, they texted you about day seven. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I was only a day behind then.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a spoiler in it. But,
that's always the one thing, since we do know somebody in Japan that I would say we speak to regularly. I'd like every tournament or so, we exchange a few messages here and there. But that's the one thing I would imagine communicating with them. It's like, got to get that spoiler in there, which is fine. Yeah. Like, if we're technically a day behind, that's our own fault, because we could theoretically stay up and watch these fights live if we wanted to. But
yeah, no, it was, but again, it floored me and it drew my interest, and I was pretty on top of it going forward. And it was a good tournament. There was a lot of good matches. Again, like that, I think that speaks to the eight and sevens and sevens and eights across the board. It was a well fought, like, pretty tightly contested tournament.
Yeah, there's going to be a little movement for a lot of these guys. It's going to be like one or two up. That's it. And then there will be some guys like Kotoeko will have a big drop. Like Rudy said, Tobizaru and Chiyotaru will also get some pretty good drops. But outside of that, like, everyone else was pretty good.
So I think the last thing to touch on is, like, because this, we're going to go, I feel like I'm going to go down a rabbit hole when you bring this one up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to touch on the latest incident in sumo history.
So Takaganji, we talked about that.
Takaganji.
Everyone's been saying Takaganji, Takaganja, Chanji, whatever.
Takaganja. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yes. So he was caught by Tokyo police with marijuana, and he has admitted to it as well. So that most certainly will end up being a forced retirement, especially since, not that we're both familiar with weed in Tokyo, but since we know the culture and their tolerance to marijuana, it's very low. Where like marijuana is really, really bad to have in Tokyo. And if you get caught with it, especially as like a foreigner, it's really bad. But even as a local, it's like severe jail time. Like, they hate marijuana possession.
Yeah. And like, I won't harp on this too much, but obviously it's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no performance enhancing things like happening with sumo, obviously. Like, they're not testing for any of that. But the fact that it's still so criminalized over there is absurd. But they haven't seen the kind of prison rates and stuff that we have, obviously.
Correct. Yes.
To decriminalize that, to them, doesn't make a difference, because nobody's really getting busted for it.
And that's,
whereas here it's like we're putting people in jail, or we're by the troves for such a dumb thing.
Yeah, and the reason that no one could be going is because everyone knows just not to do it, because it's that, like, people would rather have you like drink until you're blackout drunk than like even think about smoking. And that's the probably like the one thing that we noticed, like, going around Tokyo, like, we did a ton of walking. Like, I don't remember ever once smelling marijuana.
Yeah,
you walk around like Boston, you're like, yep, someone's smoking a joint. Like, you're driving down the street and you're like, yep, car in front of me is probably blazing. But like walking through Tokyo, like Fukuoka, Kyoto, like Osaka, like I didn't smell marijuana, now that I think about it, like, at all. It's just because it's so frowned upon in that society to like, you shouldn't do this, you're gonna get severe jail time for doing it.
But yeah, but being blackout drunk and passing out in the subway is 100% fine.
Yeah, that's totally apparently acceptable.
But the fact that that can bleed over into ruining someone's career just kind of brings it to like the next level of stupidity, in my opinion.
Yeah, because he'll probably be forced to retire.
That's like insane to me.
Or maybe they just slap him with a year suspension. That seems to be their big thing lately. They did it with Abby. Mm. They did it with Asano Yama. And at least he like admitted to it and he didn't try and hide the fact that he did it. Where he's like,
I mean, you saw what happened to the other two guys that tried to deny stuff. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Never going to see the ring again.
I mean, Abby's climbing his way back up. And
right. But I mean, I'm talking about the more recent incidents
with Haruma Fuji and
why does his name escape me? The other Ozeki. I'm being ridiculous. Asunayama.
Yeah, yeah. So I just said Asunayama. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, like I don't know. Like it's a silly thing to I could see suspension for like a tournament or something. But it's going to be a year. You're right. Like, yeah, it's going to be way too much.
Either that or they just force him to retire. Because once again, like, it's like what he did was like a criminal act. While what Abby did and what, you know, Asunayama did was break COVID protocol according to the Sumo Association. So there was nothing illegal that they did, I think, unless there probably was. But
it's just like frowned upon as opposed to being an actual criminal offense.
It's so. It's like, you know. I'm trying to think of like a good example of something that would be, I don't know, like if the NFL had some, like the NFL, you know, suspends for marijuana usage, but it's technically decriminalized in even in states that players are suspended in, where it's like, well, that makes no sense.
Right.
But it's, yeah, it's because the Sumo Association has their own rules. They can suspend for as long as they want. But what he did was like criminal act.
Which to like a different,
correct,
category.
Yeah, and we see the same thing with like football players or athletes in general, where they do something and it's like, oh, he like domestic violence, or he was caught with drugs and is like thing. Like whenever there's a criminal act, it's usually more severe punishment comes down from like the league. Most of the time it's like unforced retirement where teams just don't want to pick you up anymore. But it's pretty much going to be the same thing as like maybe more comes out about the story. Maybe he's like, hey, I do it because I have mental health issues. Like, we don't know this.
Do it because I have like a really bad back.
Or yeah. Something.
Like I could see like it as for medicinal purposes. Like I could definitely see that. Especially with guys of these size and having back problems myself. Like if you could take that instead of, you know, stuffing yourself full of prescription pills, like,
yeah,
that's a way better solution, but not there yet in every country. So not that we're not even close.
Yeah, we're
yet here. We got like 5 of 50 going right now. But
correct. Yeah, it's decriminalized in certain states, and I don't know. I think it eventually we're moving in the right direction, but it'll take some time.
Right. But yeah. So I think that's all I had.
Yeah, I usually have some. Yeah, I was gonna say usually I have some kind of some hot take at the end, but no, I think we covered pretty much everything that I had in mind. I'm excited to see what September brings.
Yeah, and we already know that Turn of Fuji is going to be Yokozuna. So
yep, yeah, and that happened actually today. So we're recording on the 21st, and today he was confirmed. He got the vote in on Monday, and then they confirmed him with a ceremony and everything today. So, you know, it was cool to see. It's the first, I guess this is your fun fact. It's the first, I think it's Reiwa period Yokozuna promotion. So that started would have been in March of 2019 or May of 2019 when the former emperor stepped down and his son took over. Starting a new era. So this is our first Yokozuna promotion and the first one since Casino Sato, which is a big deal.
Yeah. We'll see how long Terno Fuji's body holds up.
My concern is, and I guess this may be one last point before we sign off, is my thought is that exact thing is when Casino Sato was promoted, he was healthy and then he got an injury and then he was forced to retire. Terno Fuji's has a history of injuries and especially the one that sent him all the way down. You know, I'm hoping that it's not a case where he's in here for 4 or 5 tournaments and that's it. I guess we need to look at it and say, what would be a successful Yokozuna run now? Like, we're not going to get a Hakuho run. You know, we're not going to get a, you know, Asashoru, Taiho, You know, we're not going to get any of that from Taira Fuji. Like, if he's a Yokozuna for 3 years and he wins 7 or 8 tournaments, is that a success? Or is there a higher expectation?
I think this is the Sumo Association trying to buy some time until there's...
I don't think there's...
Yokozuna.
I don't know if there really is. Like, looking at the field, no one's impressed me. No one's even... Taira Fuji's impressed me, don't get me wrong. Coming back from what he did, but it's a semi-force to just get him in there because he didn't win this tournament. He still was Jun Yusho, which is that they pretty much were like, that's good enough. He's won 3 tournaments in the last year. He's Jun Yusho this tournament. Sure. Give him the Yokozuna promotion. Let's see how he actually performs at that level. Because it comes with more responsibility. It's going to be, there's more ceremonies involved. There's more traveling. He's now the face of sumo. Like, there's a lot more responsibility that go in the background than other ranks. Like, they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
See how he does.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think on that, we'll go ahead and we'll sign off. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. And you want to do your... Actually, we don't need to anymore.
Yeah, because we have our... This is our second episode with both an intro and an outro.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys. Yeah, exactly. We will see you guys in September for the Akiba show in Tokyo.
Yep. See you guys in September.
Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Music, and Google Podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at SuperSumoBros or SuperSumoBrothers.com. Until next time, take care.